ladies. God bless you. Romans chapter 2 this morning, Romans chapter number 2. You find your place in the Word of God. We've come to the most important time of the service, the emphasis time of the service. We appreciate the music. We appreciate the praying. We appreciate the giving. It's all part of worshiping the Lord. We want you to know at Buffalo Ridge, we major on the preaching of the Word of God. This is where it's at. This is what God has touched. This is what God has blessed. And we come to the preaching of the Word of God. I don't mind to tell you, I love to preach. It's my life. He's called me to this. I desire for this. And I want you to pray with me that the Lord will speak to our hearts today in a very clear voice. Romans chapter 2, verse number 1 and following. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, verse 11. There's no respect of persons with God, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. There's a phrase used in verse number 5. It's the latter part of the verse. It's the last five words of the verse. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the words, the righteous judgment of God. The righteous judgment of God. I want to encourage all of us today to ask God to speak to our hearts. I don't want to ever be a preacher that preaches at you. I want to be a preacher that preaches to all of us. I need this. I need this. This reminder today. And I dare say you probably do too. So let's pray. Let's seek the Lord and ask God to touch this sermon on the righteous judgment of God. Father, bless today, I pray. May the will of God be done. And may you be pleased in everything that's said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been to trial in a court and watched as lawyers present their cases. The lawyer's job is to convince the judge and jury that they're telling the truth. Many times, justice has been served in court. However, there have been other times when the judge and jury clearly made the wrong decision. Sad to say, but no doubt there are some murderers, thieves, drunkards, lawbreakers, abusers, etc., that have gotten off down here. Sometimes the judge and jury have even been paid off. Get this, some have gotten off because of unrighteous judgment. But there is coming a day when all of us will be righteously judged by Almighty God. See, we all have a date to appear in the heavenly courtroom. No matter who you are, you and I will meet God Almighty. There are two judgments in the future, and you and I will be at one of them. Number one is what the Bible calls the great white throne judgment. That is a judgment for the non-believer. That's the judgment for those who never trust Christ as their Savior, those who are lost, those who never turn from their sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They will go to what the Bible calls the great white throne judgment, and they will hear a sentence passed, "Depart from me, I never knew you," and they'll be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Secondly, if you're saved, thank God you're not going to that judgment. Amen. By the way, if you're lost, you are going to that judgment, but you don't have to be before you leave today. Or number two, there's what the Bible calls the Bema or judgment seat of Christ. This is a judgment for God's children. Now, thank God we who are saved will never stand judgment for our sin, but we will stand judgment for the motives of our works and what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this to you, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, but I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. And if you are today, you're crazy. You're crazy. The point I'm trying to make by means of introduction is nobody's exempt from this message. Whether you're going to the great white throne or whether you're going to the judgment seat, every one of us will be judged by God Almighty. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. But the one thing we do know is that the judgment will be righteous. Because on that day there'll be no jury, there'll be no lawyers, there'll be no payoffs, no deceptions, no mistakes, and no wrong decisions. Because the Bible teaches in Psalm 50, verse 6, on that day it says God is judge himself. On that day the truth will be revealed. Psalm 96, 10 and 11 says, He, God, shall judge the people righteously, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Genesis 18, 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Job 34, 12, yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. John 5, 30, Jesus said, As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. John 8, 16, Jesus said, My judgment is true. 2 Timothy 4:8, the Lord, the righteous judge. Take heed this morning. Our court date has already been set. You know, the one living in pleasure instead of living for God, they may not answer for it here, but they will answer for it there. The one who professes to be a Christian but lives like the devil, lives like the world, they may not answer for it here, but they will answer for it there. The one who knows the truth but will not accept the truth, they may not answer for it here, but they will answer for it there. The one who never surrendered to God may not answer for it here, but they will answer for it there. The righteous judgment of God is coming. It could be today. Sometimes court cases read Stevenson versus the people or Jones versus the state of Texas, but on that day it's going to be my name and yours versus God. I wonder today, are you ready? Are you ready? May I say this to you? If somebody really believes what I'm preaching today, they would care less what another human being thinks about them. If somebody really believes that they're going to stand before God like this, they will no longer worry about what another human being thinks. They will only be concerned about what God knows and what they're going to hear on that day when they meet God. May I say this to you? I love you, precious people. I really do. Some of you are hard to love. I'm kidding, okay? That's a joke. I'm joking. I'm joking now, okay? Now, if somebody puts on Facebook, the pastor said, I'm hard to love. I didn't say that. I'm kidding. I do love you, precious people. But may I say something to you? It doesn't really matter what you think about me. The only thing that really matters is what God knows. Now, I want to give you three simple things today, right from this passage right here. Three simple things about the righteous judgment of God. And I want to ask us all to not think about our neighbors, not think about somebody else, but let's just think about us. Let me think about me and you think about you. And I want to give you three things about the righteous judgment of God. Number one, simple today, simple. Number one, it's inescapable. You see this in verses 1 through 4, but I'm just going to read verse 3. It says, And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You know what the word inescapable means? It means you cannot avoid it. It means you can't ignore it, you can't deny it, you can't get out of it, you can't reschedule it, you can't postpone it. You ever postponed an appointment? Sad to say, if I've got a dentist here today, I'm sorry, but sad to say down through the years how many times I've postponed a dentist appointment. Have y'all ever postponed an appointment? Would you raise your hand and you postpone it? Have y'all just didn't show up at something sometime? Maybe you just sleep, maybe not on purpose. I'm not asking if it's on purpose, none of my business. Maybe you overslept or something like that, but there was an appointment that you were supposed to be at and you weren't there. Would you raise your hand? Yes, most of us, right? But there's one appointment you're not going to call in and postpone. There's one appointment I can't call in and say I'm not ready. There's one appointment that I will not oversleep and not be there. And it's the appointment when God calls my name. You know, I read, this has been a long time ago, this number has probably drastically dropped, but when I was putting this message together, I read or heard somewhere that 4 out of 5 Americans believe that they have a date with God. Now, I don't believe that's true any longer, okay? But let's just say it is. Let's say 4 out of every 5 Americans that you meet believe they have a date with God. Yes, I believe I'm going to meet 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 God. No, I don't believe I'm going to meet God. 1 out of every 5 says I don't believe it. I got a question. What about the 5th one who says he doesn't believe he's going to meet God? I've got news for him or her. They will meet God. Because God's not going to say, hey, I said I'm going to do this. Is it okay for you if I go ahead and keep my word? It's not going to happen. See, the Bible says in Psalm 96:13 says, he shall judge the world with righteousness. Matthew 12:36 says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 25:31-32, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to gather all nations to himself. That includes America. And that includes me. That includes you. This man's name was Richard Schlieghoff. He was a man many, many, many years ago who had heard that he had a date with God, that he's going to be judged by God. And he thought to himself, he said, I'm going to outsmart God. Now listen to the reasoning of this man. He said, I'm going to outsmart God. So he went searching for something, and he came upon a place that had a large rock, a large boulder that was kind of leaning at a 75-degree angle like this. And he thought to himself, I know the Bible talks about an earthquake or earthquakes or something like that. He said, I've got it. I'm going to purchase this piece of land. And when I die, I'm going to request that they bury my remains under this rock. And when that earthquake takes place, it's going to rattle that rock loose. That large boulder is going to fall on my remains, and God will never find me. I'm not kidding with this, friends. You know what that man did? He bought that piece of land. And he died, and they buried him underneath that rock. By the way, as soon as he closed his eyes in death, he realized he was wrong. But are you listening to me? When they buried him under that rock went like this and started moving itself upright like this. Are you listening to me? God didn't move that rock for that man. That man already knew. But did he move it for me? Did he move it for you? To let you know, you can try all you want to hide from me, but when I call your name, you will be there. We cannot get out of it. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. May I paraphrase that verse? Walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Here's what he's saying. If you want to live it up, go ahead. You don't just watch things you want to watch, do things you want to do, go where you want to go. You don't want to live by anything that I want you to do. God says, go ahead and live it up if you want to, but know thou that you will stand before me. Go ahead and live any way you want to, but you will meet God. That's what that verse is teaching. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Folks, many get off down here. Many get off down here. But nobody's getting off up there. Nobody. Sam Jones, a preacher of the Word of God, obviously years ago, he went home one day and his wife said to him, said, Sam, I want you to go to see the sheriff. He's dying. Sam said to his wife, said, honey, you know he's never believed in God. He's an infidel. He claims to be an atheist. His wife said, but I want you to go see him. He's dying. So Sam Jones went, and he later told the story. He said, I went to see him, and I asked, Sheriff, are you afraid to die? And he said, the sheriff answered me and said, Sam, I've always told you that I wasn't afraid to die. Now keep in mind, before I go on with this story, here's a man who said, I don't believe in God. I'm an infidel. I don't believe there is a God. But now he's dying. Sam Jones, a preacher, comes and says, are you afraid to die? He says, I've already told you I'm not afraid to die. And Sam said that I knelt down a little closer to him and I said, but Sheriff, what about the judgment? Now keep in mind, this man said he didn't believe in God. But when he heard that word judgment, and he realized in just a few moments, so to speak, just not very long down the road, so to speak, that he was going to die. When he heard that word judgment, he said, excuse me, he said, my God, I hadn't thought of that. Probably nobody came to church today thinking, I have a date with God, I have a date with God, I have a date with God. God's going to judge me, God's going to judge me. Because it's not a pleasant thought, is it? But it's a thought that we need to be reminded of. It is inescapable. You can't get out of it. Number two, notice verse number 6. The Bible says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 11, there's no respect of persons with God. Number one, it's inescapable. Number two, it's impartial. You know what this means? It means he's not going to be biased. He's not going to be partial. He's going to treat everybody fairly. In other words, it doesn't matter who we are, we will be judged for our life. He said there's no respect of persons with him. He'll render to every man according to his deeds. Makes no difference. See, Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. Proverbs 20, 29-26, every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Hebrews 12:23, and to God the judge of all. See, it makes no difference what our name is, how much money we have, how big a house is, what kind of car we drive, whether we're rich or poor, known or unknown, live in a mansion or live in a gutter, makes no difference. Everybody will be judged for their own life. You know, I try to illustrate this like this. Let's just say that right behind this door right here, to my right, your left, or to your front, just depending on wherever you're sitting. This door right here, over the top, it has the heavenly courtroom, and it has God's chambers right here. God's chambers. He is right behind that door. Now, use your sanctified imagination. The courtroom is right through this door, and when you go through this door, you are appearing before God on His throne. Nobody's in there with you, just you and God. That's it. Just you and God. I can imagine people's names being called. If this was the heavenly lobby, so to speak, and we're sitting waiting on our name to be called, our name may be next, it may be last, it may be middle, we don't know. But I can hear names called. Names like Annas and Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate and Judas Iscariot and Pharaoh and the rich man in Luke 16 or Voltaire, or Adolf Hitler or Marilyn Manson or Elvis or Osama bin Laden or preachers who've compromised. But get this, so many times we focus on them, don't we? You know what the part of this part of the sermon is? Get your eyes off everybody else, because someday I know I'm sitting out here. I know I'm out here. And there's going to come a day when the heavenly call is going to come and say, Jody, you're next. Let me ask you a question. If God called your name and you are now walking, you have to go. There's no choice. You will go. And you're getting this close to the door, and now you're opening this door, and you're right at this door getting ready to push through. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm telling you something, friends. This is nothing to play with. There's a story. Obviously, this was many years ago when they had horse-pulled wagons. The story of a man standing on the street corner, and a runaway team of horses broke away from its owner and was rushing down the street. And as they were rushing down the street, the man who was talking on the street corner had no idea what was going on. And if you can imagine him standing right here, and the runaway team of horses is coming down this road, and as this man was talking, he stepped out into the road like this, had no idea that these team of horses was coming right at him. A man saw this in time and hurriedly grabbed him and pulled him to safety. If he hadn't have done that, that runaway team of horses would have crushed him. But imagine with me, the man who was saved, in other words, the man who would have been killed, that same night went out later and committed a crime and was arrested and stood in a courtroom the next day. Can you imagine that? And as they brought him into the courtroom, he looked up at the judge who was getting ready to pass sentence and he recognized him. The judge was the man who pulled him to safety the night before. And right before he passed judgment, he said, "Wait a minute," well, I'm paraphrasing, wait a minute, "don't you recognize me, sir? I'm the man you saved last night." Here's what the judge said. He said, "Sir, last night I was your savior. But at this moment, I'm your judge. Hold your peace." You know, it is a great thing to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. But what a sobering thought that someday He will be our judge. Are we really ready? You know, in a life and in a time where so many people are just going along, they go halfway, they go maybe a quarter of the way, whatever the case. But in a time when so many of God's children do not give their whole life to Jesus, why don't we see ourselves standing before the judgment seat of Christ and say, "God, I'll give everything I have to you." Number one, the righteous judgment of God is inescapable. You cannot get out of it. Number two, it's impartial. We will stand judgment for our life. I will be judged for me. You will be judged for you. Number three, let me show you where I'm getting this next point. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Look at verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Here's what God says about this judgment. It's in the day. It's in the day. It's in the day. In the day. Question, when is that day? Don't try to answer it unless you're answering it this way. I don't know. I don't know. So here's my third point. God says it's in the day. It's in the day. It's in the day. Number three, the righteous judgment of God is impending. You know what the word impending means? It means it's coming. It means it's getting closer and closer and closer. It means to hover over threateningly, like a storm cloud. For instance, my wife and I, this has been years ago. You can tell that I'm already starting to tell stories that's years ago, you know. I'm only 38, but I'm acting like I'm whatever, 108. But when I was traveling in evangelism a little while, my wife and I were traveling to Florida. This is maybe happened to you. And where we were driving, it was bone dry, but right in front of us, it was black clouds, storming. You know, I mean, just a major storm right in front of us. I mean, our car was dry. I didn't have the windshield on. I'm talking about the wipers going, nothing. It was bone dry, but right in front of us, it was monsooning. It was coming this way as we were coming this way. And then all of a sudden, it hit the windshield. Now, if you're a man, you can identify with this. It has to be really bad for a man to pull off. Right? Yes. It was so bad, I had to pull off the side of the road. Because the windshield wipers couldn't keep up with it. I couldn't see. That's what impending means. It means it's coming this way, you're coming this way, and then before you know it, pow, it's here. Let me show you how smart your pastor is. You ready to see how smart I am? It's closer now than it was yesterday. Isn't that smart? It's closer now than when I just said that last statement. It's closer now than what I just said. You get the picture? It's coming towards you. You're coming towards it. You can't stop it. It's getting closer and closer and closer. Acts 17:31 says, He hath appointed a day, a day. He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Question, when's the Lord coming? God says don't judge anything before the time until the Lord come. Let me answer it. The Bible says no man knows when He's coming. Nobody knows. James 5:9 says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. You know what that tells me? He's right on the other side of that door with His hand, on the door, getting ready to pull it open, and our judgment day has arrived. Let me ask you a question. How close are you to the judgment of God? You know, in Noah's day, they laughed at Noah when he said it's going to rain, right? They laughed at him. But it didn't stop the rain, did it? In Lot's day, they laughed when he said fire's going to fall. But it didn't stop the fire. Today, people will laugh at a message like this. They'll mock. Think I've fallen off my rocker. But their laughter will not stop their judgment. Let me apply this message. Would you let me do that? I'm just about done. Now you've realized, and you've been with me long enough, if you've come here for long, that when your pastor says I'm about done, I'm lying to you, okay? I'm kidding. I am just about done. Let me apply this two ways, because we all have a date with God, whether we're saved and going to the judgment seat, or whether we're lost and going to the great white throne. Let me deal with Christians first. Christian, it is a wonderful thing to realize that you're going to heaven. It's a great truth, a great, wonderful truth. Praise God for it. Don't ever get over it. But how awful would it be to be going to heaven but living as if you're not? How awful would it be to go to the judgment seat of Christ and be saved, as the Bible says, yet so as by fire? That means no rewards, nothing to give back to Jesus. That'd be terrible. So determined to be a Christian that's going to give your life completely to God, to go all out for God, so you have a good payday someday, so you can lay those crowns back at His feet, because He's the one that's worthy. But really, the main thrust of this message is not really for Christians. It's for somebody today who does not know you're saved. Somebody right now that in your own heart and mind you say, you know, I'm not sure where I'm going. I'm not asking, are you 90% sure? Are you 95% sure? I'm not asking if you prayed a prayer. I'm asking, are you 100% sure, 100% sure that you are born again? Has God changed your life? Is there evidence in your life that you have life in you? And if you're here today, say, no, I don't know where I'm going. How awful it would be for Him to call your name and you're not even in His family. There was a young girl. She was a single girl. She got upset at her mama because her mama was trying to make her live right. And she said, I'm sick of my mama's rules. I'm paraphrasing some of these stories, but you'll get the basic gist of it. So she went out on her own. She's tired of living at home. She contracted a disease. And she was lying in the hospital, not doing well. Her mother was in the room with her. When all of a sudden the story goes that the girl opened her eyes, she said, Mama, what does Ezekiel 7, 8, and 9 say? The mama's like, excuse me, honey. She said, what does Ezekiel in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 8 and 9, what's it say? She said, I can't get away from it. I said, get a Bible, please read it. So the mama did. And she opened to Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 8 and 9 and read these verses to her daughter. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee and accomplish mine anger upon thee. And I will judge thee according to thy ways and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations are in the midst of thee. And ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. When she read those verses to her daughter, the story goes that there was a horrified look that came over this young girl's face. She collapsed back in the bed and she died. You say, wait a minute, I thought God's a God of love. He is. That's why Jesus came. You say, I thought God is patient. He is. We don't know how many times he left the door open for that young girl. See, the Word of God plainly teaches that God's not willing that any should perish. But the Word of God also teaches today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. If you hear His voice today, harden not your heart. Because the Word of God teaches that how long He leaves the door open is up to Him, not up to me. If there's somebody here today you've never trusted Christ and you're gambling with your soul and you think that there's more time, that's up to God, not up to you. And if today he says, today's the day, be saved, he's talking to you, I'm talking to you, I love you, I died for you, I rose for you, I want you to trust me. It is a foolish thing to leave and not trust Christ, because he may never speak to you again. This church can't save you, I can't save you, you can't join this church today. Has nothing to do with that. But this church loves you. This church wants you saved. And if you never come back here, we want to see you there. And the only way we're going to see you is if you trust Christ. Teenage boy and girl were listening to a sermon on the gospel. They were sitting towards the back, apparently. They didn't want anything to do with it. The boy mocking apparently and took a church hymnal like the one in front of you and wrote something in it and gave it to the girl. She wrote something in it. They slammed it shut, stormed out the back door. 15 minutes later, they were dead. Car crash right down the street. Suddenly took them out of the world. They came back to that church, got that hymnal where they wrote something down, and here's what that boy wrote. I will take my chances. And the girl had written, me too. Let me say something to you. God loves people. God loves the world. But when God is through, it's done. It's done. Don't gamble with your soul. I was dealing with a man one time. I've been trying to win him to Christ in this area. Sit in his living room and I said, why don't you just trust God? Why don't you just trust Christ? And he said this, I am a gambler. You say, Jody, you're preaching hard. Amen. You say, you almost look mad. I am. I'm mad at the devil. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil because I know he is hog-tying people. He's trying to get them to think they've got more time. He's trying to send them to hell, and there are people going to hell when they don't have to. If they'll just trust Christ, be born again. There's coming a day. We will meet God. Are you ready? Psalm 9:7 says, the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Do you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven? If you do, you ought to say, glory to God. Lord, help me live as a Christian in such a way that I have a good day at the judgment seat. But if your answer is no, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Don't be foolish. Trust the Lord. Turn from your sin. And be born again today. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you help us, I pray. Please guide us, lead us, direct us. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Unless it is absolutely an emergency, I'd like to ask that nobody leave. Unless it's an absolute emergency. If you're here today and you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know there's been a time in my life when I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I am not trusting a church. I'm not trusting my works. I'm not trusting my baptism. I am trusting Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Now, friends, don't worry about who's sitting beside of you, what they may think, what they may do. I'm talking to you because God is going to judge you. He's going to judge me. Are you ready? If you know you're saved, as they begin to play through just real softly, if you know you're saved, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You know you're born again. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Amen. Amen. If you're here today, some of you could not raise your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for being honest. And I want you to know this morning that you're among friends. We love you. We love you. This church can't save you, but we know who can. And all we want to do is point you to Him. If you're here today and you say, Jody, I am not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. And I realize I am foolish if I walk out of this service today and not put my faith in Him and still be on my way to a devil's hell. I don't want that. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want today to become a child of God. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I wouldn't do that for anything on the world. But you say, pray for me. I need to be saved. This is for me. Balcony down below. If you need to be saved and today you'd like to put your faith and trust in Christ, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like, God bless you, sir? God bless you and you. How about somebody else? Put your hand up. Put it right back down. You can put it right back down. Thank you. God bless you. Somebody else, you say, this is me. I need this. I need this. Now, if you raise your hand, I want you to listen to me closely. In just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. It's exactly what it sounds like. We're inviting you to Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that we're born again by incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. We want to invite you to come. We'll take a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we're going to share with you the gospel from the Word of God. And today, you can have the peace with God and put your head on your pillow tonight knowing that you're going to heaven. Would you come here momentarily when we sing? And some of you Christians, you're saved, but you're not ready for the judgment seat. Why don't you change that today? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this and use it, I pray. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to dismiss all of those who are following the Lord in baptism. Would you go ahead and move in that direction now? And as soon as we begin to sing, if you raised your hand saying that you need to be saved, I'm going to come right down on the floor. Would you come? And we will help you with this today. As Brother Gary sings, now's your time. Come on now. Would you do that? Come now. You say, boy, I need this. I need to be saved. I need to be saved.
Have mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you.
There's still time for you.
Save you.
There's still time. You'll be glad you did. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.
Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land, where joy's immortal flow. Only trust him.
Let's have some of our men, if you wouldn't mind. Josh is up here at the altar. Some of you men will come and surround him, pray with him over this cancer. I'm going to ask God to keep it away from him as I prepare for baptism. Pray for these who've come for salvation. Ask God to make it clear to them.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let me give you a couple of quick announcements. We'll take the offering, have a baptismal service. Just a couple of announcements. Today is the deadline to sign up for the new Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church t-shirt. If you'd like that, see Bob in the lobby. There's a cancer ministry meeting tonight after the service. If you are looking for a ministry and might be interested in the cancer ministry, or if you know someone who has cancer that our cancer ministry should deal with, there'll be somebody at the Welcome Center this morning, and you can talk with them and take care of that. Also, notice in the bulletin, we are in the process of redoing our website. And if you're having trouble getting archived messages or doing the live streaming, there is a link that you can see in the bulletin there. And that will take you right to a link that will have all those Sunday school lessons, past sermons, past services, all will be there, and the live streaming also. Gentlemen, you come, and we'll receive the offering this morning. Lord, we do thank you for these who come for salvation this morning. I pray that you would help them to place their faith totally and completely in the work you've done on the cross. Do pray for these with special needs in our church now. Think of Brother Charlie as he has surgery this week. For Brother Josh as he's waiting now for these test results. For Brother Joe Hilbert as he has a hip replacement this week. Bless these men. Help them, Lord, we pray, and help them during this time that things would go well. And with these surgeries, with Josh's report, do pray for these being baptized this morning, that they truly would walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. Thrilled for these young people who are following the Lord in believers' baptism. Praise the Lord for it. This is Joshua Parker. How old are you, Joshua?
9 years
old. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk in the newness of life. Very, very good. I would not want to have to do that to him when he's 19, I'll guarantee you that. Very good. This is Frank Wilson. How old are you, Frank? 9 years old. I like that. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, Blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Is that it? Isn't this thrilling to see Deborah? I like saying that name. Deborah, these two boys that follow the Lord in believers' baptism, praise the Lord for it. We're asking God to help us as we go forward. Be back tonight in the Lord's house, the interns. Noel and Eric will be speaking tonight. This is their last Sunday with us. They'll be preaching tonight in the service. And I remind all the couples in your 20s, all the couples in their 20s, if you'll go to the blue room, I'll be there momentarily. Thank you for being here in the service. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Steve Mullins, sir, please.